On Sunday, December 13th at 11 p.m., Sugar in My Bowl presents organizer and producer of the Winter Jazz Festival, Bryce Rosenbloom. Join us as we kick off programming, spotlighting the 2016 Winter Jazz Festival, and we'll listen to music of some of the featured artists. That's Sunday, December 13th at 11 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web. WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Sugar in My Bowls, the name of this program. Our guest for this evening is Bryce Rosenbloom. He's the producer and co-creator of the Winter Jazz Festival. Stay tuned and you can hear more of what to expect next month. It's a wonderful festival, so if you're not familiar with it, tonight's the night to introduce yourself. And you can help WBAI by calling 212-209-2950, as the station is in fundraising mode right now. It is the end of the year, so give what you can, give a little more, and write it off in your taxes, as the people with money do. 212-209-2950, or go to give, the number 2, WBAI.org. Stay tuned. Sugar My Bowl, Bryce Rosenbloom, coming up now.
I want some sugar in my bowl.
The biting dog gets kicked when the human time bomb ticks its last talk. The space between the hard place and Rocky Mountain's pride fills to the brim with the type of frustration that will make a Navy man cry in the system where justice feels like it means just them. We sing the inner city blues for Trayvon Martin, Oscar Grant, James Byrd, Emmett Till, and all the brothers and sisters who didn't make the news. Fuses still burn short and aborts any pretense of peace when the bruised and battered need a release, and our outright rage can't be policed, not even by the police who look like us. Martin Grant, Bird and Till. Some thrust their hands in the air and some go for the kill. Let the sleeping giant know that in these halls we can't go for that without biting back. Just know the rest of us are still fighting back the same inclinations, suppressing the same motivations that made Mark Essex burst in the first place. Chickens often return to roost at their birthplace, and that's the worst place to be if you've been on me ever since I could crawl. Grown boys in baggy jeans bawl, but you can't feel the tears or see the fears that still smear our DNA, so you don't know you're seeing a cry for a new day.
Let me see what life can bring. Let me see a further thing. Let me see the kings of old be crowned themselves. Let me see the king again who found themselves. Let me make a new sunrise, catch them sleeping by surprise, wake the giant up and see him cast all fear. We're gonna make the wall of
Belafonte's favorite MC once said that fame is the worst drug known to man. I wonder if he included himself in that statement. I'm just saying, I know the life, and from this there is no rehabilitation. And if it's true that everyone has their 15 minutes time, have you thought about what legacy you want to leave when it's your turn to shine? In this life, we are either life givers or life takers. If you find yourself tearing others down instead of building them up, then you are a life taker. If you're not spreading love and influencing someone else's growth, then please realize you are a life taker. You may not believe in God, but you will meet your maker. So, what do you want to be known for? Someone who didn't follow their dreams? Whether or not you're aware, someone is watching you. So therefore, we all influence someone, no matter how dim our light may seem. Mark Essex? Well, I ain't saying what the brother did was right, but we do understand. Like Zimmerman, Miserly, Barry, Brewer, King, Bryant, and Mike. The laws of target fixation dictate that you move toward that upon which you fixate. In other words, you go where you look. So, if you choose to focus on rage, fear, insecurity, or a need to stand your ground, don't expect respect, love, honor, and peace to appear on your path. Show me the worst of your circumstance, and I'll still tell you that despite what Pavlov proved, for humans, there's a space between stimulus and response. I heard it's called choice. Gil's grandmother said, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. And I assume that to mean even the okey-doke, like post-racial, or I had no choice. Lift every voice and shout the names Martin, Grant, Byrd, and Till. We black men will continue to move forward to show the world they did not die in vain. Peace go with you, brothers.
Hi, my name's Joyce Jones, and I'm on the line with...
Bryce Rosenblum.
Bryce Rosenblum, thank you so much for joining Sugar in My Bowl. I really appreciate the time you're going to spend with us.
My pleasure.
I understand you're born in Louisville, Kentucky. What brought you to New York?
That's right. Well, after some time in Chicago, or around Chicago, I was at Northwestern University, and then after college, spent time in San Francisco, and then made my way to New York, and about, end of 97, been in New York ever since.
You're also, in addition to being the producer of the Winter Jazz Festival, you're also the musical director of Les Poissons Rouges. How did you wind up in this
Correct.
Area of music and the music business?
Well, it actually really starts back in college. I was a history major focusing in African and U.S. history, and I thought I was going to either go into sociology or potentially go into architecture and engineering, but... During college, I became active in the student concert committee and producing concerts on campus and in and around Chicago for the students. And after doing that for a couple of years and focusing sometimes more on that than I was on my academics, I realized I might be able to make a career out of this. And specifically, I was proud that I was able to work on a project with South African jazz musicians and a collaboration between a specific South African musician, saxophone player Zim Gawana, and Max Roach, and we brought the two to Northwestern and created a series that then Zim came back a couple years later for another performance on campus. And we actually toured his group up to Milwaukee, to Madison, and then several concerts in Chicago, Chicago Cultural Center, and a couple clubs, and sort of acted as a tour manager while I was in college. And that was an inspiring experience. And actually, I spent time in South Africa after meeting those musicians. And it was just instrumental in driving my interest specifically towards jazz and the music industry. After college, I went out to San Francisco and I worked at the San Francisco Jazz Festival, which is now named SF Jazz. And they have a brand new building out there. And then I came to New York and worked at Central Park Summer Stage for a couple seasons and then began booking venues, Space McCor on the Upper West Side, and then I was at Jazz and McKinn Center for a year working with Wynton Marsalis, programming in their new facility at that point at Columbus Circle. And then I ended up at the Knitting Factory, actually where we launched the Winter Jazz Festival in 2005.
I understand the primary goal of the Winter Jazz Festival in particular, a mission statement, so to speak, would be to expand the audience of this music, jazz, and help make the music more accessible. Could you speak more to that mission?
Yeah, absolutely. So in 2005, when we launched Winter Jazz Fest, specifically we scheduled it during the APAP conference, the Arts Presenters Conference that happens every January in New York, where presenters from around the country and around the world come come to New York, largely presenters that are curating and booking for performing arts centers, festivals, some clubs or a series in their theaters or concert halls or universities around the country. And I felt that the jazz that was happening on the scene in New York that I was experiencing as a jazz fan in the city at that time was not being fully represented at the APAF conference. So I wanted there to be a place for my colleagues, my fellow presenters, to come and see what was happening on the jazz scene, to see what was really viable and vibrant on the scene at that time. And so in the first season at the Knitting Factory, we had 18 groups on three stages on one night. And the goal was to present some artists that may have been on the scene for a bit, but they're presenting new projects, but then also to give a platform for new talents. And that first year, I'm actually in some ways most proud of that first year with the artists we showcased, including Dave Douglas, David Murray, The Bat Plus, Stephon Harris, James Carter, Jason Moran, Vijay Iyer, Burnt Sugar, Gretchen Parlato, and others, artists that are still very much happening on the scene right now, also creating new music and, keeping the music moving forward. So that's how it started. Definitely the goal initially was with the aim to show off the scene to the presenters, but what we found is that the audience came, and every year we were able to expand it because every year we would sell out and more audience was attracted to it. And of course, the scene was so vibrant that we were able to showcase such tremendous talents. There's definitely not a lack of talent, on the scene in New York for jazz. So every year with the growth, just proving how strong the jazz scene is and continues to be.
I noticed that you mentioned an affiliation with the Knitting Factory in the beginning. And there's another festival that I also love to attend, the Vision Festival. I was wondering whether you had any exposure to that or whether that had any inspiration in how you've done things.
I mean, I'm absolutely familiar with the Vision Fest. Mm-hmm. Patricia and William are colleagues of mine, mm-hmm. and I definitely applaud what they've done. And yeah, absolutely, they were an inspiration. I feel that there's a focus that they have artistically, which I applaud, and we touch upon that genre a bit in what we present at Winter Jazz Fest. But we also want to be broad, very broad in our programming, and include genres outside of that area. But absolutely, I mean, what Vision Fest does is definitely an inspiration for me. I'm personally a strong fan of that music.
How do you go about securing venues? Because I know there's, you have like tons of different venues in that area. That's sort of like part of the excitement of catching the performers.
Yeah, I mean, the goal has become to give the audience an opportunity to catch as much music as they want or possibly can and bounce around. It's in some ways, it's a pub crawl. Mm-hmm. You get a pass and you have access to all of the participating venues, and we wanted to keep the venues in somewhat of a close proximity. And in past years, after we moved it from the Knitting Factory up to the Village, with Le Poisson Rouge becoming the central location and using satellite venues around there, the proximity was very close. The first couple of years, it was just three venues, and then we expanded to more venues. And now we're up to, we will have on the Friday, Saturday, which is the signature marathon nights, which I'm describing, we'll have 12 different stages, and it'll extend north up to the New School, where we'll have four stages, including a stage dedicated to ECM Records, moving down to the Village area, the central area on Bleecker Street with Le Poisson Rouge, the Zinc Bar, Bitter End, Judson Memorial Church, which has been a central location. This will be the third year we host events at Judson, and then the Greenwich House Music School. And then moving east, we're including Subculture this
Great.
Year. And then further south, the Green Space at WNYC, and then also the Roxy Hotel, which has a beautiful new jazz club called the Django downstairs. And the Roxy, it's interesting, they're branding themselves as a jazz hotel.
Oh.
And they will have jazz every night of the week
in that
space, in the lobby, and then at this new club, Django. So we're utilizing that space. Very happy to be in that space on the Friday and Saturday. So yeah, the goal is to offer an opportunity for audiences to come in. They might be attracted to a specific artist they know, but if a room is full, there's always going to be space at one of the other clubs. So it's really an opportunity for discovery. They may come for a specific artist. They may see that group, or they may not be able to get into that venue, but they can go to somewhere else and see tremendous talent and be turned on to a new project or a new artist. Several goals, but one of them is really to expose the audience to the tremendous talent and to give these artists that kind of exposure on a larger scale, not just to audience and presenters, but also to other musicians. It's a great opportunity for musicians to hang and check out their friends and discover artists that they haven't been able to see.
You mentioned, in talking about the venues, the opportunity to, if you cannot get into one venue, you can find something, you know, really great in another one that where there may be room for you to be. Zinc Bar in particular,
exactly.
It's a small venue, and it's a little difficult. I've noticed that is actually, there have been performers who've been booked in there, and it's like, oh, well, why didn't they choose one of the bigger venues for this person? How do you decide who's going to be where?
It's a whole host of different factors. I mean, one of the major deciding factors is, I mean, imagine this is a big puzzle. So we have to be able to fit artists into the schedule where there's no conflicts. There's a lot of artists that play in multiple groups. We'll have a drummer, Nashi Waits, who's playing in six different groups.
Uh-huh.
So we have to schedule accordingly so that there's no conflicts, and that not just that there's no conflicts with his performance time, but that there's enough time for him to travel between venues if he has to get from the New School all the way to the Green Space or the Subculture, you know, to give him enough time. But, you know, we certainly try to schedule groups according to what we feel their draw might be. There was a group, Go Go Penguin from the UK, a trio, a jazz rock group, and they're up for the Mercury Prize, and they've been getting tremendous buzz. Thank you. them in one of the smaller venues, and I moved them after seeing what was happening. I moved them to Le Poisson Rouge for one of the nights to give, you know, we're certain that they're going to have a nice draw, so to give a larger audience an opportunity to see them. This year, we are hoping that we won't have as much of an issue with the crowding at some of the smaller venues, because we do have more larger venues this year. With the partnership with the New School, we're utilizing two of their large venues, the Tishman Auditorium in the Student Center on 5th Avenue and 14th Street. Mm-hmm. That's where the ECM stage is going to be. That's their 800-capacity space, and that'll feature artists including Vijay Iyer, Michael Formanek, Colossus Ensemble, a 17-piece group, Craig Taborn solo, Ethan Iverson with Mark Turner, Avishai Cohen's quartet, and many others.
And Chris Potter.
Chris Potter, indeed, exactly.
Oh, actually, I'm looking forward to that showcase.
Fantastic. Thank you. then there's also at the New School another auditorium on 12th Street. It's this beautiful Art Deco theater, about 450 capacity. And you may recall, if you've ever seen Inside the Actor's Studio, it's where that show used to be filmed. Beautiful room, great acoustics, and groups like Steve Bernstein, Henry Butler, and Hotline will perform there. Also, James Blood Ulmer, Roy Hargrove, Christian McBride. The New Blue Orchestra is going to perform a tribute to Butch Morris on a Friday night. And then also Foho in the Dark is going to perform John Zorn's music. Friday, also Don Byron and Monty Alexander. Trumpet player from Lebanon, Ibrahim Malouf.
Oh my gosh, I love that man.
Oh.
so we're looking forward to seeing him. We really love him.
He was supposed to perform at the festival 3 years ago. There was some difficulty with his visa, but I understand that's fully resolved for this year. Yeah, tremendous trumpet player. And actually, Mark Turner is performing with him
nice.
In that group. then at the Judson Church is one of our other large, Judson and La Poisson Rouge are our other two larger venues. And yeah, very excited. Judson Church, we're going to have a few surprises there, which we haven't announced yet, but you know, definitely stay tuned. Some of the late night sets, we'll have some last minute announcements on performers there, but currently Lonnie Smith and Dana Stevens, Colin Stetson with Sarah Neufeld, Quartet Burnt. It's a project with members of Burnt Sugar performing the music of Sun Ra, Wayne Shorter, and Ornette Coleman.
Right.
That's, of course, Greg Tate's conduction project.
Inspired by Butch Morris.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah. And that's all on Friday and Saturday at Judson Church. Gregoire Moret with a choir is kicking off the night, and also performing Chris Bowers, Corey Henry, and then closing is the Sun Ra Orchestra on the Saturday.
And you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar My Bowl is the name of this program. My name's Joyce Jones. What you're listening to right now is Supernova, the Sun Ra Orchestra under the direction of Marshall Allen. The name of the release is Music for the 21st Century. This is a 2003 El Ra Records release. Before that, we heard Movement 2. Ibrahim Malouf is the artist. We actually heard two from Ibrahim Malouf. This is Movement 2 from Kalthoum, Alf Leila Walela. It's 2015 Mr. Productions Decca Records release. We have Ibrahim Malouf on trumpet, Mark Turner on saxophone, Frank Waist on piano, and Larry Grenadier on double bass. Before that, we heard Free Spirit from Ibrahim Malouf. Red and Black Light is the name of that release. This is also 2015 Vistar Production Decca Records release. Ibrahim Malouf on trumpet, Eric Lagnini on keyboards, Francois Delaporte on guitar, Stefan Galland on drums. Before that, we heard Break Stuff, Vijay Iyer Trio. That's the title cut from the 2015 ECM release. Vijay Iyer on piano, Stefan Crump on bass, and Marcus Gilmore on drums. Before that, we heard All Reds. That's Go Go Penguin from their release Man-Made Object. It's actually an upcoming release. It's scheduled to release in February of next year. Rob Turner on drums, Nick Blacka on double bass, Chris Ellingworth on piano, and that's a Blue Note Records 2016 release. Before that, we heard Essex, Martin, Grant, Bird, and Till from Shawnee Wade, offering the music of Gil Scott-Heron and Brian Jackson, featuring Malcolm Jamal Warner and Lakeisha Benjamin, former Sugar guest. That's Shawnee Wade on vocals, Malcolm Jamal Warner on spoken word, Lakeisha Benjamin on alto sax, Brandon McCune on piano, Dave Stryker on guitar, Lonnie Plaxico on bass, Alvester Garnett on drums, and that's a 2015 Motema Records release. And before that, we opened our show with our theme, I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl, from Nina Simone. That's the very best of Nina Simone, Sugar in My Bowl, 1967-1972. This is an RCA BMG release, originally recorded in 1967. This release is a 1998 RCA BMG compilation. Stay tuned for On the Bandstand with our associate producer, Hank Williams, and more Sugar in My Bowl with Bryce Rosenblum, the producer and co-organizer of the Winter Jazz Festival, which takes place next month on the 13th through the 17th. You can go to winterjazzfestival.com to find out more about it. Thank you.
That was great to see the addition of the orchestra. That's it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, and actually, Marshall Allen is a, I learned several years ago, he's also from Louisville.
So oh.
I'm proud to showcase a fellow homeboy.
Good evening, jazz fans. This is Hank Williams, and welcome to On the Bandstand for December 13th. This segment features aerial listings of Sugar and My Bowl guests so you can see them live. And this week's show is a preview of the upcoming Winter Jazz Fest, and our guest is Festival Director Bryce Rosenblum. We have lots more music for you this week, so let's dive in. Jeff Lieberman's The Amazing Nina Simone documentary film is at Hartford, Connecticut's Real Artways until the 17th. Pianist Harold Mayburn leads a trio at Smalls on December 16th. Pianist Mark Carey hosts the Harlem Sessions at the Gin Fizz on the 17th. And pianist Jerry Allen and drummer Terry Lynn Carrington are at the Village Vanguard from the 15th to the 20th. Saxophonist Gary Bartz leads a quartet at Smoke from the 18th to the 21st. And pianist and vocalist Diane Shore is at Iridium for Frank Sinatra's centennial celebration from the 26th to the 28th. Finally, guitarist Mark Rebo has two dates at the Stone. He appears with a trio on the 20th and with John Zorn on the 29th. And be sure to check back with us next time for a curated roundup of Sugar guests at New Year's Eve events. That's all for this week. If you missed anything, full listings are on our blog. Go to sugarinmybowl.org and click the link for the blog, where you'll also find reviews, features, jazz news, and previews and extended coverage of the Winter Jazz Fest. And Sugar is spelled S-U-G-A. Playlists and audio from this and previous shows are on our main website as well. And if you're on Twitter and Facebook, look for us there too. If you like what we do, please help WBAI stay on the air by pledging whatever you can and consider becoming a WBAI buddy with a monthly pledge. See the Support WBAI link on our website to find out more. This is Hank Williams signing off. With our bi-weekly schedule, we're off the air next week, but we'll have updated event listings online and be back on WBAI on Sunday, December 27th. Either way you connect, we'll see you next time on the Bandstand.
We also would like to ask for your support, as WBAI is in fundraising mode. We need you to call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950, or go to give2wbai.org to show your financial support and your appreciation for what we do here on Sugar in My Bowl and all the other arts programming and what is actually done on this station writ large. 212-209-2950 or give to the number 2 WBAI.org. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York 99.5 FM. Sugar in My Bowl continues with Bryce Rosenblum.
Attention, WBAI listener sponsors. The WBAI Premium Hotline is now 347-529-6664. Once again, the number is 347-529-6664. Leave a message on the hotline, and a volunteer will address your concerns and get back to you as soon as possible. Once again, the number is 347-529-6664. Thank you once again for supporting WBAI New York Pacifica Radio.
Hi, this is Christian McBride, and you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web.
One of the venues that you had last year, which I thought was really nice, but I was wondering what happened to it this year, Minetta Lane?
It was a beautiful venue. We loved being there. It was a great proximity to all the other venues right in the village. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's traditionally a stage theater, and they do off-Broadway shows there. Mm-hmm. So they're scheduled for a three-month run for a show, unfortunately, during the same time as Winter Jazz Fest.
Okay.
So we weren't able to lock in that room, which was one of the impetuses for us to explore other options, which led me to the partnership with the New School, which we're very happy about, very pleased that's developed, and we're actually hoping the New School can be a venue we can continue to use in future years as well.
Have you noticed a thread, and you're doing this work, you know, with Summer Stage and the New School, have you noticed like a connectivity between organizations?
You know, in a lot of ways, presenting in New York is a small world. We're colleagues. We rub shoulders a lot. You know, I used to work at Summer Stage,
right.
Friendly with the colleagues there, and, you know, friendly with colleagues at all these venues that I've worked with. And, I mean, it's just an opportunity for there to be fluid communication. And, again, that's part of the goals of Winter Jazz Fest, is to attract presenters to this music and, you know, the artists that we're showcasing. So we invite them to experience that, and the goal is that they're going to include these artists on their seasons, and very much is happening that, you know, this artist that we present that will then be booked at Summer Stage or Celebrate Brooklyn or JPAC or Lincoln Center, the clubs or venues in New York, but then also well beyond. So, I mean, it's been a great way to foster connections with presenters in New York and beyond.
Some of the varied artists that have been in the lineup. During the 10th anniversary, I noticed you had a group, Room Full of Teeth. Where do they fit in the language of the music?
Oh.
Yeah, good question. And I mean, just so you know, and if you've looked at the scope of the artists that we're presenting, well, this year and in past years, it's very broad in terms of how it relates to jazz music. And that's really always been our approach, is being open to the broader or a broad definition of what jazz can be. And I really, first and foremost, it's quality and talent. And, you know, a project that is inspiring, we feel, is saying something or moving the music forward. That's a priority for us. And then from there, if the artist is using a jazz language or an improvisatory language, you know, something that is within the broader realm of what jazz can be, and that they're using the term jazz to define how they're creating their music, whether it's a main factor or just a reference. If we can hear what they're trying to communicate and how that relates to the music, to jazz, then we're interested in including it. And a group like Room for Latif, it's in the same tradition of Meredith Monk or experimental vocal ensembles that we're interested in including. And in that same realm, we've included groups like The Clogs, or this year we have Dither. Chamber experimental projects that might fall into the canon of more experimental chamber, but as it relates to jazz. And, you know, there's a lot of presenters that focus on that kind of music, whether it's presenters that are from museums or galleries or performing arts centers that might have an audience that are open to more experimental music. Then they're attracted to these artists and, you know, specifically makes Winter Jazz Fest more of a destination for their booking consideration.
For those who may not know, Room Full of Teeth is an a cappella vocal ensemble?
Correct.
Thank you.
Back to the ECM showcase. I wanted to find out more about that, which features our former Sugar guest, Vijay Iyer, and his trio. How did you wind up wanting to have a showcase for such a king-size label as ECM?
We've been speaking with the folks at ECM for over a year now, and originally the thought was to do maybe one night a showcase, and we weren't necessarily sure exactly what the focus was going to be, but they, you know, traditionally, German label ECM presented a lot of European artists. And in the past few years, they focused on a lot of artists from the States, specifically from New York. And so they thought this would be a great opportunity to showcase their artists, both past recording artists and artists that are going to have new releases this coming year that are from the States. So it's really a chance to focus on, you know, the stateside musicians. And, we were thrilled that they had so many artists that we were able to expand it to more than just one day. So we have 13 groups performing over two nights, January 15th and 16th. And it's ECM at Winter Jazz Fest, which will be at the New School. Yeah, we're thrilled.
Now, just so people can find out more about the Winter Jazz Fest, you can go to www.winterjazzfest.com and find out the lineup and the venues and the everything else that falls under there. There are actually several nights. The kickoff, I think, what is it, 13th? It's before the marathon nights.
Right. Just to give a little bit of background on that, Winter Jazz Fest, again, the signature event is the marathon, which is on the Friday and Saturday, and that's how the event really started. On our 10th anniversary, we expanded the festival to 5 days. We had individual shows highlighting unique projects that we felt were special enough to devote a specific night to. So this year, again, we're doing 5 nights. We're kicking off the festival on Wednesday, January 13th, featuring Dutch experimental group The X with Bill Laswell and Colin Stetson. And then Happy Apple is performing an opening set that's Dave King's group. David King is actually our artist in residence. He's featured on 3 nights at the festival with 4 different projects. And the following night, on January 14th, we're presenting saxophonist, composer Kamasi Washington and guests at Webster Hall. Thank you. course, Kamasi is a wonderful story this year for jazz music, specifically for the jazz scene in LA, but also just a broader statement, a vibrant story with his phenomenal three CD album, The Epic. Right.
Yes. For those who might remember, in October, we featured Kamasi Washington to pretty much prepare people for another institution that you're involved in, the Brick Jazz Festival.
Correct.
But please continue, because I would like you to share about the Brick Jazz Festival and its inception.
Sure, we'll go back to that. So, right, so Kamasi is playing at Webster Hall, and there'll be special guests there, which we haven't announced yet, but it'll be very exciting, I assure you. And then we move to Friday and Saturday, which is, again, the signature marathon night, where there will be 120 or more groups on 12 stages. And again, people can purchase either a single-day pass if they want to just focus on one night, or there's a two-day pass people can purchase if they really want to commit to the two nights, which a lot of people do, and it's definitely a great commitment. And then Sunday, we close the festival with San Francisco-based sax quartet Rova performing their Electric Ascension, which is their Coltrane tribute, and special guests Nels Klein and Julian Lage, many others, will be performing with them as well. And that's at Le Poisson Rouge on the Sunday. Thank you.
So you want to tell people about the Brick Jazz Festival that happened in October?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was fortunate enough to be approached by my colleagues at Brick, which is the Performing Arts Center in Fort Greene, Brooklyn. It opened a couple years ago. The same people that run Brick also produce the Celebrate Brooklyn concert series in the summer. And they wanted to launch a jazz series, and so we brainstormed different concepts. And we came up with a multi-day series of events similar in format to the Winter Jazz Fest, but on a slightly smaller scale. But the idea that people could purchase a pass, single day or a two-day pass, and the Thursday and Friday nights of that event featured 18 different groups over the 2 days performing on three stages within the Brick facility.
Right.
And it was a great way to show off the capability of that facility and the three different performance spaces And again, similar to Winter Jazz Fest, to showcase such tremendous talent under one roof. And I love to say, and that was a true reminder, and I reminded the audience both those nights that, you know, we're thrilled that the audience was there to see so much music in one space, but to remind the audience that every night of the week, all over the city, this great music continues. Those musicians are performing at different clubs around the city, and it's just a testament to the vibrancy and the richness of the scene today. We noticed that there's a tendency for people to believe that, you know, jazz is dying, or, you know, there was an article several years ago that came out that said jazz is dead.
Right.
And I can't stress enough how much that is not true, and how clear it is from our experience with these festivals and the talent that just is continuing to grow, that the scene is very much alive and being nurtured by these festivals and by presenters and the clubs that believe in it and that are showcasing it every night around the city.
Actually, I have to give a major thanks to the creation of the Brick Jazz Festival, because I had no idea that that space had so many performance spaces that could accommodate a music festival in that way. Nothing bled into the other space, so it was really, really a good setup.
Yeah, and that was one of the initial concerns, was, you know, about the sound bleed, crowd control. But it worked. It really worked, and we're already beginning planning for next year.
Beautiful.
We're excited that that series will continue.
I'd like to repeat that. Kamasi Washington was, I guess, the featured artist, sort of like main attraction for that.
He was the he closed the ballroom stage on the Thursday night of the festival. And then actually the following night, he performed another sold-out show at Le Poisson Rouge as a part of CMJ. And we actually used that show as a Winter Jazz Fest preview. It also featured Lakeisha Benjamin doing an opening set, and Mark Juliana, both of which, those two groups, are performing on the marathon nights, Friday and Saturday. So it was just great synergy, the way that that festival works. And we specifically scheduled that festival around CMJ, which traditionally has not included very much jazz. So that was also a great way to bring in a younger audience.
Could you let people know what CMJ stands for? I think it's...
Sure. College Music Journal, which is a publication. I think they may still print it. Anyway, but it's a place where college radio programmers and college presenters can come to New York. Traditionally, it was a festival where they've come to New York and discover new talent, mostly in the indie rock realm.
Right.
But, you know, like in every college has a jazz, or most have a jazz-focused program. And so I've always wondered why there wasn't more jazz. So this is an opportunity to feature jazz artists. And clearly, it was beyond just the attraction of Kamasi and the buzz there, but it was a great way for people from the CMJ Festival to come and experience what's happening on the jazz scene today.
And as with the other festivals and gatherings that you've produced, the musicians were a part of the audience as well. They expressed their fandom with other artists who were performing there.
Yeah, and that's one of the great realities of the festival. You're in a club, you're either one of the small cramped clubs or one of the larger spaces, and you look next to you and you see one of the musicians that you just saw at another venue, but he's standing next to you, you know, watching the same show as you, or you're walking down the street and, you know, you see one of the musicians that you just saw on stage walking down the street. It's a great scene, great energy, and we're really thrilled that it's grown into that.
Now, wait a minute, are you involved in the Undead Music Festival as well?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, actually, the Undead Music Fest was a series that we started in direct response to that article that came out several years ago saying jazz is dead. And we actually didn't have a series last year, but we're working on something for this spring. But it's basically, it's similar in concept to Winter Jazz Fest, but on a smaller scale, and specifically programming or presenting groups that are really pushing the boundaries of what jazz could be. It's really not necessarily just jazz music, which originally we called it the Undead Jazz Fest, and then it became just the Undead Music Series.
Okay.
Yeah, it's another festival that I'm proud of that we do work on.
And you're actually a family man, so it's like you're not just doing this as some guy who has all the time in the world to do this. How are you managing?
Sometimes I ask myself that very same question. No, I have two beautiful boys and, of course, a lovely wife. And, you know, we somehow make it work. Maybe it's the energy of New York, the ADD reality that we live in that just keeps us moving and at a tremendous pace, but somehow able to make it all happen. But, you know, of course, it wouldn't be possible without the staff and the supporters that we have, the volunteers, the people that believe in the festival and believe in the music scene that do support what we're doing. So we have a tremendous, not just support base with my own family, but with the colleagues and team that we work with.
Well, everything that we've discussed definitely makes in order. My congratulations to you, because you will be receiving the Bruce Lundvall Visionary Award at the Jazz Connect Conference next month.
Thank you. I'm very grateful for that recognition. It really means a lot. It's just a tremendous honor. Bruce is a hero of mine, and I had the opportunity to meet him on several occasions, and I'm just truly honored and excited.
For those who may not know, Bruce Lundvall, one of the many things that he did was he was involved in Blue Note Records, and he unfortunately transitioned last year, but his spirit lives, of course. So this honor is, you're being recognized because of the work that you've done around this music. So much deserved, I can see. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you, Joris.
So is there anything else you want to share with the WBAI listening audience, Bryce Rosenblum?
Sure. And the one thing that I like to say about the Winter Jazz Fest is it's really an opportunity for audience members who may not be the avid jazz fan, may not be, you know, aspiring musicians, may be more, you know, pedestrian with their jazz experience, but it's a great opportunity to discover and to have a initial experience into what jazz can be. We kind of call it an opportunity for people to have a gateway drug experience, mm-hmm. where they give it a chance, and there's no doubt they're going to find something that really turns them on to the music. And it may be an artist that leans more towards jazz fusion with hip-hop. They may already have a language that they recognize with hip-hop, but then they can understand where the jazz is related to that. Or maybe it's someone that comes from more of a jam band or groove background, and, you know, they could find an experience, find an artist that turns them on, that they already kind of understand that language and then are more interested in exploring. Or a group like Kamasi, who has tremendous buzz and attraction, and, you know, you might hear the influence that Sun Ra has had on them, and then maybe interested in going checking out Sun Ra Orchestra or the Birth Quartet.
Oh, wonderful. Well, the Winter Jazz Festival, once again, spans from January 13th through the 17th, and you can find out more about it at winterjazzfest.com. And
yes.
People, the rates are definitely affordable. That's one of the great things about the Winter Jazz Festival as well. When you go for more than one day, if you go for the whole 5 days, it is a reasonably priced thing. I don't know how you do it, but thank you.
Our pleasure. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, sometimes to see a single jazz show will cost the same amount that we're offering for a two-day pass,
right.
Or even a one-day pass.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you, Bryce Rosenblum, for spending time with Sugar in My Bowl, and I look forward to seeing you in January.
Thank you, Joris. Look forward to seeing you there.
You're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM, WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl is the program to which you have been listening. My name is Joris Jones, and what you're listening to in the background is In Time. That's the Music Revelation Ensemble featuring James Blood Ulmer, who is scheduled to appear at the 2016 Winter Jazz Festival. It's James Blood Ulmer on guitar, Sam Rivers on soprano saxophone, Amin Ali on electric bass, and Cornell W. Rochester on drums. Before that, we heard Gardens, a solo guitar project from Julian Lage. Julian Lage, as mentioned during the Gary Burton program, Julian Lage visited WBAI with vocalist Hannah Alexa during International Working Women's Day programming, and it was a nice surprise, and they both sounded great together. That's from Julian Lage's release, World's Fair, a 2015 Modern Love release. Welcome was the song that we heard before from Rova, R-O-V-A. John Coltrane's Ascension is the name of the release. That's a 1996 Black Saint Records release. Before that, we heard Final Thought from Kamasi Washington from his 3-CD release, The Epic, 2015 Brain Feeder. And before that, we heard Resume Variations. It's an homage to Eberhard Weber. Jan Gabarek was the solo performer with the SWR Big Band. That's a 2015 ECM Records release. Before that, we heard Sustainable Interlude. Dither is the name of the group. Their release, The Architect. That's a 2015 Broadband Noise release. Before that, we heard, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce that, Mons Marte from Room Full of Teeth. That is their self-titled release. It's a 2012 New Amsterdam release. Before that, we heard Light and Darkness, theme for Sonny Ray from the Sun Ra Orchestra under the direction of Marshall Allen. The name of the release was Music for the 21st Century, a 2003 El Ra Records release. And of course, before that, we heard On the Bandstand with our associate producer, Hank Williams. As he had mentioned during the bandstand, we will return on Sunday, December 27th. Until then, continue to support WBAI by calling 212-209-2950 or going to give2wbai.org. The station really appreciates your support. You know we need your help, so do what you gotta do. It's the end of the year, so give. 'Tis the season, right? Stay tuned. La Nueva Alternativa is coming up next on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web.
Hello? Bueno, this is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.